Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. To Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to be reading from verse 1. A great and unique passage of scripture. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me."
All right, good morning, all our Aussie friends. And we certainly love you and pray for you. And we've had a long association with Australia, and especially Pastor Robilliard. The first time we went to Australia was in 2003, and we've had three trips there. I was able to bring my children there, and what a wonderful thing that we can meet together like this on a Zoom meeting. And this is my fifth time now to preach to you via Zoom over the last couple of years. The last time was actually a year ago, and I preached a different message, but with a similar theme, because these are troublesome times. And so we want to address that theme today of victorious living in troublesome times, because we need to think about the victory that we can have even in these troublesome times, because there's troubles politically, especially in our country. There's troubles economically, troubles medically. We know so many that have died of COVID, many pastor friends and wives. We know many who are in hospitals on ventilators even now, friends of ours, pastors that we've ministered with. And these are troublesome times and dark days for many of our friends. And so we want to address that today and trust that this passage we're going to look at would be helpful. Now, Grace is here. Many know her, and so she's going to come and share with us the sacred recitation, and then we will get on with the message.
"I wonder where he lives, my God, whom I confess. Where is his dwelling place? What is his home address? Is it in the heavens beyond the starry skies? Is it Eden's garden fair, the earthly paradise? Is it the celestial city where Jesus is the light? Can I really reach him with my prayer in the darkness of the night? Oh, yes, I know I can. For God is everywhere. He fills all time and space, above, below, and here. And yet I wonder still, beyond the heaven's dome, is there a place today that God regards as home? Where then can I find it? There's no burning bush in sight, no tabernacle for his cloud and his Shekinah light. There's no temple now, no sacrifice today. But we do have his word. We know that Jesus is the way. Holy ground and temple and sacrifice is he. And wonder of wonders, Jesus dwells in me. He lives within my heart and soul. He inhabits all my praise. So my address is God's address and will be all my days. And in each heart where Christ abides to comfort, reign, and bless, wherever dwells the Son of God, there is God's address.
All right. Thank you, Grace. So the question is, are you God's address? That's the issue. Are you God's address? You are, if you're a born-again, blood-bought, heaven-bound child of God, by faith receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. And when you do, then the Spirit of God makes you his temple. And so it's exciting to think about that. We appreciate Pastor Jan. I got to meet him earlier on video here, first time I've seen his face. And we appreciate Pastor Wayne and Nolene and the folks in Hazelbrook. And we're praying much for you because I know you want to be meeting again publicly. And until that school opens up again, I know that that's not a possibility. But praise God, we got the next best thing, which is the Zoom meeting. And so we are excited about this time, Lord willing, one Sunday with you next month. But here we find in Isaiah chapter 6, a passage of scripture that I'm sure you're not really thinking about as a victorious living in troublesome days, but it really is. Isaiah is in lots of troublesome times right now in more ways than one. And then we'll see what God does to help him overcome some of the troubles. And so here in chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, I have a list of A's, the first letter of the alphabet, A's. I have six A's I want to share with you. The first one is anguish. Isaiah is in anguish. The year is 739 BC, and it is the year that King Uzziah died. When King Uzziah died, it was devastating for Isaiah. And we know that because Isaiah and Uzziah had a very long friendship and relationship. You see, Uzziah was a very godly king there in Israel, and he reigned for 52 years. 52 years, and I believe Isaiah and Uzziah had a long, long-standing friendship. It was easy to be a prophet under the days of Uzziah because Uzziah was godly. 2 Chronicles 26, God blessed Uzziah and blessed the nation because Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, if you know his history, he had a bout with pride at the end. But for the most part, he was a very godly king, and Isaiah had a very close relationship with him. You say, how do you know that? Well, from another passage in 2 Chronicles 26 and 22, listen to this. Now, the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. All the other kings, when they died, it says that they're in the annals of the kings, but here is a king whose biography was written by Isaiah himself. You can see how close they must have been, where Isaiah now pens a full transcript and memoirs of this king. And so they were very close, and now he's dead. Now he's gone. It's a very troublesome time for Isaiah because Jotham will follow, and he's a moderate king. Following Jotham will be Ahaz, and Ahaz was one of the wicked kings of Judah. And so Isaiah at this point doesn't know what's going to happen in these turbulent times now that Uzziah is gone and Jotham takes over, and then Ahaz. It's going to be a troublesome future. And so the anguish is that King Uzziah died. He was very close to him for 52 years. And then we get our second A, which is ascension. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And God brings him into the heavenly realm with an ascension right into the throne room of God, which is in heaven, which is in the temple in heaven. Did you catch that? A throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Do you realize there is a temple in heaven that the temple on earth was patterned after? Where did Moses get the design for the tabernacle? And where did Solomon get the designs for the temple in Jerusalem? From God's temple. The same temple in heaven was what was the earthly one patterned after. But he's ascended into heaven. And I wonder why. Why is God doing this right now? Now, some would call this Isaiah's call to ministry. May I suggest to you that perhaps this is a recall? It's interesting to me that every other prophet had his call like in the first chapter. Now, Ezekiel was the second chapter. But why would Isaiah be preaching and prophesying for five full chapters and then get a call? I really wonder if this is more of a recall, because Isaiah is having trouble. Here's a little word I want you to see that maybe indicates his trouble. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. He didn't say, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. He says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Do you see that Isaiah is so devastated by the loss of Uzziah, and perhaps even put Uzziah on a pedestal higher than he should have been placed? And perhaps God needs to take him into the heavenly realm and show him the real king, the high and lifted one, the lofty one. I saw also, could it be that Uzziah was competing with God in Isaiah's mind? And so that's the ascension, and that's the interpretation I'm presenting to you. You don't have to agree with me, but I've been looking at this a long time, and I say, why is that word also there? And why now is he brought up into the throne room? But then we have the third A, which is the angels. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. We're introduced to this classification of angelic beings created by God. And these are the seraphim with their six wings. We know there are other classifications. 1 Kings 8:7 says there are the cherubims, which have two beautiful, wonderful wings. It was cherubims whose wings joined together on the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant. There were cherubims all over the temple as decoration. And so the cherubims are concerned with the praise of God. The praise of God. Isn't it interesting that Lucifer was a cherubim? And he was the anointed cherub that covereth there in Ezekiel 28. And so Lucifer had a greater outstretch of wings. In fact, that's what it says, the anointed cherub that covereth, because the word anointed means outstretched. And no doubt Lucifer had huge, beautiful, flapping wings that hovered above the very throne of God. And so the cherubim concerned with the praise of God. Lucifer was in charge of all the heavenly praise. He directed all of the angelic praise to the throne of God below him as he hovered above the throne of God, and the Shekinah of God was brilliant against all the jewels that were on his chest. And so the seraphim are concerned with the holiness of God. And notice their anthem, our fourth A. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We find also in the books of Revelation and other places where these seraphim cry out day and night, perpetually crying out, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come. And so these seraphim are there before the throne of God, just giving this anthem over and over and over again. And I like what Pastor Wayne said earlier concerning the holiness of God and concerning this angelic band with their anthem. The holiness of God is paramount. The holiness of God must cause everything else to fall in place under it. Notice these seraphim are not crying out, love, love, love is the Lord God of hosts. Is God a God of love? Yes, he is. First John tells us that. They're not crying, love, love, love. And there's a lot of people who want the love of God, but don't want the holiness of God. And a lot of people are misdirected and misinterpreting scripture when they talk about ecumenical movements and talk about various cults and everything, that we all just got to love them. The Lord Jesus didn't show a whole lot of love to the Pharisees of Matthew 23. And certainly Paul the Apostle didn't have a ecumenical movement with the Judaizers in the book of Galatians. And so always remembering the holiness of God tempers everything else. The love of God is true. We need the love of God, especially in these troublesome days in which we're living. We need to be assured that God loves us and that we'll never lose that love because we're in a relationship with him. But we have to remember that God is holy, holy, holy. And he says in Hebrews 12:10 that we are going to be made partakers of that holiness. And no matter what our troubles may be, no matter how hard things get, no matter what our trials or adversities, we must maintain holiness and never capitulate and never give in to this terrible world system that presents so many unholy things, even to the minds and lives of Christians. And so the anthem is ever, ever repeated. Holy, holy, holy. So getting visions of God's holiness, remembering that we are to be holy as he is holy, and that God has us on a crash course with holiness if we're true born again believers. And he's going to make us holy. If you've got things in your life that are unholy, you have things in your life that you know are not pleasing to the Lord, I guarantee if you're a child of God, the Lord is going to come to you. He loves you too much not to meet you where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you in some kind of a backslidden condition. And so you're going to meet with his holiness, and he's going to work in your life in his process of sanctification to take these unholy things out of our lives. And so verse 4, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I suppose this is where we get the term holy smoke. but the Shekinah glory of God filled that place. And when Isaiah, who perhaps was getting this recall and seeing God, not in competition with Uzziah, seeing God for who he is and in his holiness and being confronted by these angelic beings and their anthem, it brought him to an analyzation. Number 5, analyzation. And so Isaiah is absolutely overcome with these glories of heaven and the glories of the throne of God. And he says in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now we know that Isaiah is in covenant relationship with the Lord, and even those of us who are saved and born again, blood-bought, heaven-bound children of God, there are times when we see ourselves in this way, and we must, if we're going to be cleansed and restored to fellowship with God. But perhaps there's someone listening that's not a saved child of God. Do you realize that God's word says we're all undone? We're all of unclean lips and unclean thoughts, attitudes, motives, and actions. We're undone, we're unfit, we're unworthy, undeserving, unfulfilled. If you're not a child of God, that's your lot. And you need to realize that woe is upon you. If you're not saved, you're undone in Isaiah 64:6, for we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of this holy God of heaven. And so if you are an unsaved soul today, just remember Romans 6:3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that is your status. Doesn't matter how religious you are. Doesn't matter how many good works you have. You might be a good neighbor, a good worker, a good husband, good wife, good children. But if you've never been born again, that none of that can be pleasing to God. That's why Romans 8:8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're born in the flesh. We're born in sin. Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We're born in sin, and thus we choose to sin. We have a depraved, corrupt nature, and woe is upon every unsaved soul. And so we must be born again. We must acknowledge our uncleanness. We must come as a humble sinner to the cross of Christ and allow the crimson flow of his blood that was shed on the cross to cover us, to cleanse us, to forgive us, to save us. And so if you see yourself today undone, you see yourself today unclean, haste, make haste to the Savior, lest you perish, lest you die in your sins and spend eternity in the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. And that is the sad fate that awaits those that have never received Christ as their Savior. But for those of us who are believers, there are times when we can become undone. There are times when circumstances and adversities and troublesome times can weigh us down and rob us of the joy of our salvation. And we need constant evaluation. Now, in Isaiah's case, notice what he says, for mine eyes have seen the definite article, the King, capital K, King. And again, going back to my original argument in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died. Notice that's a small K, King. And I think that was part of Isaiah's troubles, that he saw Isaiah also, his throne, also the Lord sitting upon a throne. And I believe God takes him to the heavenly realm and says, listen, you're a great prophet. And I know the death of Uzziah has devastated you. You were very good friends. You wrote his biography. But you need to see the King, the capital K King of heaven. Then flew one, verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Again, we're talking about the heavenly temple. The heavenly temple that had a perpetual altar that was on fire, just as the altar in the temple in Jerusalem was a perpetual fire. So it is in heaven. So here's a seraphim taking one of the burning coals from the perpetually on fire altar in heaven. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God that the Lord has purged our sin. Praise God that he's taken away our iniquity. And no matter what the circumstances may be, what adversities, what troublesome times we may find us in, we never can lose that. Never lose sight that you've been washed in the blood unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so praise God that our iniquity is taken away and thy sins, our sins, are purged. And when Isaiah received this purging, only now is he ready to hear the voice of God. Only now is he ready to receive a commission, a ministry. Verse 8, we have the answer. We're going to have the answer. First, let's see what the question is. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, after his iniquity was taken away, after he's purged, he can now clearly hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then the answer, then said I, here am I, send me. God is always looking for Isaiahs. You can be an Isaiah, that you can be a witness and a testimony for the Lord Jesus. You can hear his voice. You can let his voice be known to others as you share the word of God. But here's this great question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Of course, the us is the triune God of heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who was mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to? Did the angels help him create? Not at all. It's wonderful unity and love within the Godhead. In fact, that's the biblical word for the Trinity, is the Godhead. Colossians 2:9, in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so the question still stands, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And the Lord is looking for people to go. He's looking for people to send. In Psalm 94:16, the Bible says that God asks, who will stand for me against the evildoers? Who shall rise up for me against the workers of iniquity? The Lord asks that. Who's going to stand for me? Who's going to rise up against all of the evils of our society? Who's going to plow right through all these troublesome times and be holy and be a witness? And we have to maintain our spirituality and maintain our love for the Lord and our love for souls, our love for the word, our love for the church. All of that has to be maintained, even in troublesome times. And I'm telling you, it's troublesome times, even for my wife and I, as our great heart's desires to be overseas. So all of our foreign ministry in 2020 was canceled. We just returned from hosting a tour to Israel, and we had to leave the country, and we got back to the United States, and all of our 2020 foreign ministry was canceled. All of our 2021 foreign ministry was canceled and is canceled. Next year, 2022, we have 9 countries scheduled over a period of 7 months. Are we going to be able to fulfill those? In fact, this January is supposed to be the Philippines, Pastor Jan. Are we going to be able to go? Is that going to open up from its lockdown? We don't know. From the Philippines to Canada. Right now, we can't go to Canada. From there, 5 different countries in Europe. And then down to Peru, South America. And then Brazil, South America. And we'd love to be able to fulfill those things. But if we can't, God will just have to keep using us here in the United States. And so the Lord asked the question, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The Lord says in Ezekiel 22:30, and the Lord sought for a man to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. How sad. God sought for a man that he could use in the midst of the evils and the troublesome times of Israel's history. He sought for a man among them. Make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. Well, those sound like some troublesome times, and they were. And yet God said, I couldn't find one man. How I trust that you would be like Isaiah and I would be like Isaiah. We would be that man or that woman. Then said I, here am I, send me. I'm willing to go. Now, hasn't he already been going for five chapters? Either this is out of chronology or it's some kind of a recall. But the point is that we need to keep serving the Lord. Here am I, send me. I don't care how troublesome the circumstances might be, how much adversity, how much trouble, discouraging things, we have to keep going. And I know that Central Mountains Baptist continues on. I know you long for the day when you can meet publicly again. In the Philippines as well, they've been over a year without being able to meet publicly. But we find that even in the midst of these sorrowful, troublesome times, that we just keep saying, here am I, send me. We just keep serving. Whatever capacity God has given you to serve, keep serving, keep going, and let God use you. I like the Japanese word, gambate. We've been to Japan many times. Gambate is Japanese for keep on keeping on, never quit. Gambate. Well, let's pray together. Fathers, we end this message and end this exposition of this passage. How I pray you may have ministered to our hearts. Maybe there's some Isaiahs out there who are devastated by the loss of a loved one. Maybe there are those who are struggling medically with COVID. There's others, of course, battling cancers and other diseases. And Lord, whoever they are, we lift them up to you. But perhaps we also have a problem that Isaiah had in putting human figures higher than they should be. And we don't want to see also the Lord. We just want to see the Lord. We want to see you, the King, the capital K King. And so all of those little K kingly people in our lives must take a second place. You are high and lifted up. Your throne is alone. And Lord, we ask your blessing on any today that needed ministry. We pray especially for any unsaved. Now I pray that they would see themselves under woe, that they'd see themselves with undone, see themselves with unclean lips, see themselves unworthy until they come and receive the one who is worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Save some soul today and encourage some saint who has been bogged down with some of the troublesome times. Lift their spirits and guide them in these days. We thank you for this opportunity to be with our Aussie friends again. Bless them. Use them. Help Pastor Jan to be able to get to Hazelbrook. And we pray, Lord, that they be able to meet again. And Lord, even someday, I've always prayed for this dear church that someday they can get their own land, their own property, their own building that they can meet in and not be subject to the rules and regulations of meeting in a school. Lord, I know you can do it. You can do the impossible. And we just pray, Lord, that you would work mightily in this transition now of Pastor Jan coming in as pastor. And Lord, we just commit this to you. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.